Some days there's so much in the readings that we'll be late for lunch. This is Sirach 17. It's a great example of what you might call Holy Spirit philosophy. The wisdom literature has a very special place in the scriptures. And this reflection on mankind is quite interesting. God from the earth created man. That's the first thing. We're earth. And to earth we return for a while. But he's created. That means personal attention. Created that one. Created man. And in his own image he made him. We hear that so much. You know, can you imagine God pondering? He doesn't have to ponder, of course, but you know what I mean? And to put his image in dust and ashes. What generosity. And then give the whole world to us. Take care of this world, especially the poor. And so he makes man return to earth again and endows him with the strength of his own. Limited days of life he gives him with power over all things else on earth. So you see the grandeur and the fragility of our existence. The grandeur comes from God. The fragility we introduced through sin. You see. He puts the fear of him in all flesh and gives him rule over beasts and birds. He created for them counsel and a tongue and eyes and ears and an inventive heart and filled them with the discipline of understanding. Our bodies pick up reality. Pure gift of God. Our eyes, our hands, our ears, our tongue. Pick up reality. Just a gift. You know, we walk around running everything and not doing a very good job of it. And yet, he never takes that dignity from us. Huh? He created in them knowledge of the Spirit. With wisdom, he fills their heart. Good and evil, he shows them. You see how this mystic, you see, is trying to show us how close God is and how much he cares. You see, he put the fear of himself upon their hearts and showed them his mighty works, that they might glory in the wonder of his deeds and praise his holy name, that there would be contact, that we would appreciate what he's done and praise him for it. And you know, we live in one of the most beautiful parts of the world. Just look out the window, all that green, all that, just look at the sun today. You know, and he did all that we might glory in the wonder of his deeds and praise his holy name. He has set before them knowledge, a law of life as their inheritance. When we sinned and our minds were darkened, he didn't say, well, figure it out for yourself, did he? He knew we were too stupid, too weak, and tended toward evil. So he said, here's the law. This is the way you have to live. Now, in the ancient law, there were thousands of minute things. But you see, that makes of all of life a liturgy. If you sit down, you're a Jew and you sit down at the table, and there's pork, well, you're just going to have to satisfy yourself with salad. Your whole life is a liturgy. And that should be us too. You see? He set them before them knowledge, a law of life as their inheritance. an everlasting covenant he has made with them. This is the basic covenant, right? And he made it with them. Why does God have to make a covenant? He's not bound by his word. Why? He doesn't have to make this covenant, but he does. You know, it's interesting. One of the first covenants recorded in Scripture is the one with Abraham, where God said to Abraham, get these animals, kill them, and put their parts like this, cut them in half. That's an old covenant ritual. And then the two partners to the covenant walk through these two halves of an animal or several animals, saying, may this happen to me if I break the covenant. And then God walks through. That's that brazier, you know, the brazier that passes through that. I forgot to tell you, did I tell you about Abraham? This, I promise you that your descendants, your wife is barren and you're old, but I'm telling you, your descendants will be so numerous, nobody can count them. See? His majestic glory their eyes beheld, his glorious voice their ears heard. He's trying to tell us how great God is and how much he loves us. You see? He says to them, avoid all evil. Each of them he gives precepts about his fellow men. Their ways are ever known to him. They cannot be hidden from his eyes. Over every nation he places a ruler, but God's own portion is Israel. Still. Now they got a prime minister over there, Netanyahu. And they got a Knesset and all the rest of the stuff. But God still looks after them, and we pray that one day he enlightened them and they come to know Jesus. Now, I've gone a long time on that, so I'll go quick on the gospel. The thing that's most interesting in the way Mark describes this, when he saw that they're trying to keep the children away from him, he was indignant. That's amazing, isn't it? Let these children come to me. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That reminds me of one of the great men I knew in my life. I know I'm alive and he's gone to heaven. Petrus Dunker. He was my Hebrew professor over in Rome. And he was on the Pontifical Biblical Commission, one of the great scholars. I remember once I was in another office there, Father Mathis. And Dunker comes in, you know, he's Dominican, big black cape, red beret, black beret. And he says, I'm here for a blessing. The rule, see, is that you, in the Dominican order, I don't know if they still do it, if you're going to leave the house, you should be blessed by the prior. Well, the younger kids don't do that. They're too dumb. But Dunker, same age as the prior, comes in and he explains, I'm having supper tonight with John the 23rd, and so I need your blessing to leave. And I thought, what humility. He's that kind of a man, you see. And because of that, I saw childlikeness in a way. He was a person whose every reaction was the right one. It's amazing, you know. I was 28 at the time, and he was already 60-something, 65, maybe 70. And he wrote an article, very blunt, and all the people who disagreed with him wrote, you know, terrible articles in all the periodicals and theological periodicals in Italy. And he said to me, 28, what do you think I ought to do? I said, I'd ignore it, Father. He says, yeah, this is what Bea says. Now, Cardinal Bea, you know, was the one who wrote many of the encyclicals for the popes and was the confessor for many of them. That's Bea. Yeah, that's just what Bea says. So me and Bea. But it was that honesty and simplicity of heart, you know. And he had a big booming voice. So when I was teaching at Steubenville, I said, you know, boy, the kids here would get such a lesson in reality if Dunker could come over and give a couple of lectures. So I called him up in Rome. And he said, you don't understand, I am 90 years old. So he didn't come. But you see, who does not accept the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it. See, Dunker, one of the great scholars of the church, and a you know very holy man, he accepted it like a child. We lay down conditions, you see, and he didn't.